This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food.
We're going to head out to Mission Canyon, right by the Santa Barbara Arboretum or Botanical Gardens.
Yeast, it's all around us. During the pandemic in 2020, home bakers were having trouble finding yeast in the stores. One of the perks of living on the Central Coast is that we have unfettered access to unprocessed fresh produce, so why not use fresh, unprocessed yeast? It's easy. You just put a jar of flour, water, and sugar outside with cheesecloth over the top, and voila, you've captured some yeast.
We're gonna set up 4 sites for yeast propagation. This is to capture wild yeast that is local and native to the Santa Barbara foothills, with the end goal to hopefully make some delicious beer with it.
2 popular uses of yeast are for beer making and bread making. Playing with Food went on a hunt for local wild yeast and has produced a segment on each of those uses. A 5-month, 1,800-mile journey with my new, now good buddy, Chip Nasser from Night Lizard Brewing Company in Santa Barbara. This one is about capturing and propagating wild yeast, specifically wild yeast captured near Poison Oak, to make beer. And here's how we did it.
We're doing it right now just because it's the fall harvest season and a lot of fruits and berries and wild plants are all flowering and producing their fruit or have produced all of their fruit, and the fruit will remain on the trees and now be starting to rot. And that's actually advantageous for the yeast because it tends to form in the skins or any protective layers of the fruit. Once those skins rupture during the rotting process, they tend to expand and produce gases and stuff like that. That actually allows the yeast to then enter the fruit and start to ferment the fruit on the vine. And it also brings insects and allows them to, especially bees, to collect yeast on their bodies and transport it through the environment. So today we're going to primarily be going after manzanita berries that are still on the vine. They fruit about 3-4 months ago. Hopefully we'll be able to find some good clumps of them still on there. There's a pretty big grove we're headed up to.
So is that all the equipment rattling in the back?
It is, yeah. Those are our mason jars that are filled up with wort, which is a sugary malt liquid. So what we try to do is emulate something that would be like the sugar juices that would be coming out of a rotten piece of fruit right now. So this is our little kit for yeast sampling. Nothing really, really fancy. We got 4 glass jars filled with wort. They're each numbered and covered with cheesecloth over the top. The cheesecloth is affixed to the top of the jar with a rubber band, and then the metal lid is sealed on top of the cheesecloth and the rubber band. That's our sanitized layer right there. Before I put the lids back on, I will re-sanitize them just to make sure no weird stuff gets in there at the end of the sampling. We'll leave the jars out there with just the cheesecloth on. All of the lids will come off, and that helps to mitigate any sort of like debris, wood, or anything falling into the jars. I do like to get them off the ground because they do tend to be messed with by squirrels, rodents, stuff like that. Bees are like one of the number one transporters of yeast because they have like such fuzzy bodies. They are great receptor sites for yeast to stick to them. And because we have a sugary broth liquid jars right here, bees actually like it. So they'll come in, check it out, walk across the top of the cheesecloth, and hopefully some yeast will fall inside. And it's about a 0.5-mile hike in. And it's all uphill.
I didn't go to the gym this morning, so this will substitute. We are here.
Definitely. So we're at Mission Creek. I'm just going to hop down here and do the base of that oak tree right by that rock for my first sample. And now I've wedged it in between a rock and a coastal live oak tree.
A rock and a hard spot.
Yeah. There is like a little bit of like mixed foliage around it, like brush, that I'm hoping will attract a little bit of insect activity, and then tons of poison oak kind of scattering the whole backside. So I found a little flowering tuberosa plant here, otherwise known as the suck rose, because you can kind of do like honeysuckle trick with the flower. Has a little bit of sweetness to the back end. Put it around there, a lot of flowering there, hoping that some bees will land on that sugary liquid and drop some of their yeast inside. We, on our previous 2 samples, have found that like 10 feet off of the ground, we're having great viable samples with like little contamination. Because we'll get other stuff than yeast, mushrooms, bacteria, all kinds of weird stuff. So, just had a couple more feet up this canyon, and there should be a little chunk of those bay plants and manzanitas. I'm like surrounded by poison oak.
Sorry about that.
No, no,
oh, I'm right next to it as well.
Yeah, it's tricky this time of year.
Yeah. What kind of yeast does poison oak give you?
We've never sampled the poison oak areas. This will be the most poison oak areas we've ever sampled, but it'd be interesting in the spring to do it because they do flower like crazy. So we know what avocados give you. Avocados give you some pretty funky Saison style yeast. Not too fruity or anything like that, just a real Belgian-y, but we've done a lot of avocado orchards. Sampling a little bit based on the poison oak. Like I would.
Right next to your right elbow.
Yeah, poison oak here and poison oak there. Well, this will be the poison oak sample. We'll do it. That's right in the poison oak jungle. That's it. That's the entire putting out of the sample process. You know, it doesn't take long at all. It's something that you can whip together in like 45 minutes. So if people wanted to collect their own yeast, it's not something that somebody in their garage couldn't do. And there's no reason to be scared of it or anything like that. We're hiking out. Yeah, luckily it's all downhill on the way out.
This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Father Ian on a hunt for wild yeast with Chip Nasser of Night Lizard Brewing Company. Meanwhile, back at the brewery.
What you're going to do with it now?
Wait for 24 hours right now until tomorrow morning, and I'll hike back out there. I'll sanitize all of the lids that I have in the bag that we took off of the jars and put them back on top. And then I'll allow those jars to ferment for the next 5 to 7 days. I'll also look to see if there's any weird stuff in there, like mushrooms, fungus, bacteria, mold. Anything like that would be an indicator that it's not a viable sample. At the end of those 7 days, I'll open up all the lids, smell them first. If it smells a little bit like beer, that's the number one indicator that you have something that's good. If it smells foul, sour, you could have viable yeast, but not yeast that we would want to make beer out of.
What's success rate?
Usually it's around 5% success rate of catching a viable yeast strain that you could use. We've been lucky. We've been up around like 20, 25%. But if one of those jars gets something, it's pretty lucky out of the four that we did. I'll plate it onto a petri dish and then look at it under our compound microscope just to verify that it is a yeast colony. Then I'll culture off just the one yeast cell that looks to me the most viable. I'll replate that onto a new slide, grow up a whole colony of just that one yeast cell that I'm interested in. Once that whole plate is grown up in our incubator right here, I'll swab that whole plate, scraping off all of the yeast, and repitch it into a similar sized jar with a little bit higher sugar gravity wort in it. And then I'll grow up what I call a starter culture of yeast. It's almost like a benchtop test beer, about a 3-liter beer that I'll make right here, have it fully ferment, taste it. And if it's viable, there'll be a whole bunch of yeast that's now dormant at the bottom of the beer. And I'll repitch that, grow it up, and make a full beer off of it. So these are what happened to our samples after a week of fermenting inside of the vessels that they originally sampled in. But I left them for you to smell. Not a great or pleasant experience. The smells range from like wet, hot garbage to old cabbage.
Should we start with the worst first?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It smells like the trash bags outside of a pub from the night before.
Yep.
So it's like wet, hot trash with beer.
With a little beer?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's a great description, yeah. And this one, actually, you can see bacterial cultures in the jar. So that's
mold.
Yep, indicator. Ooh. That one's got quite a bit of carb to it.
Yeah. It smells like when you go into a bar the next morning and the floor's all sticky and it smells like just old beer.
And it probably could be Sabretomyces yeast, like the wild kind of see it. It's like spider yeast.
Okay, and this is number three. This was the bay tree.
Yep, and you can even see a little slime mold on that one.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
That just smells icky. It doesn't smell like anything but ick. So that was an experience. So those three are not going to be used at all.
They're not. Yeah, I'm actually going to get them out of the lab right now. Number two is not a pure yeast culture in the sense that I don't believe that there is just beer yeast that we're looking for.
There's poison oak as well.
Here. Yeah, there could be poison oak, yeah. The irony that it's got the best yeast. There also could be a couple of other organisms in here right now at the moment. Like, so we'd say it's like a mixed culture. It's got like a sweet smell almost to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a little nutty. We're going to set up a plating, inoculate a couple of petri dishes with our sample, and then throw them in the
incubator for about 24 to 48 hours.
A week later.
Take a look inside the microscope, and then you'll see some very, very small dots. They almost look like specks of dust.
I thought they were dust on the lens.
So those are small yeast cultures right there that are just trying to keep themselves alive as the Brettanomyces yeast is kind of spreading across the whole plate. So I'm going to scoop out those little guys and then inoculate them into this 2 liters of wort that I have. There's nothing in here other than malt, sugar, and water. We're going to let that sit for about 5 days. And then if everything goes well with that next round, it'll be a 3 liter. That'll actually get pitched into a 31 gallon batch of beer. Our end goal. The yeast flocks out, meaning it gets heavy enough, sticks together, falls to the bottom of the flask, and all of this white powder right here is all of the yeast. And I'll decant all of the liquid off of the top, so I just have this powdery slurry left at the bottom before I pitch it in.
The yeast is on its way to being beer now.
Yeah, I'd say it's way more than halfway now. The plating, I'd say, is about the halfway point. In 10 days' time, make a beer with that yeast if everything turns out.
And Chip has captured yeast before.
That was our previous yeast culture. Our yeast strain that we sent to Imperial Organics, and they ran the whole strain through PCR tests and DNA analysis. They found that we have like a novel strain that we captured out here in the Santa Barbara Hills. So
that's great.
They grew it up for us, propagated it, and now we're going to buy a pitch from them that has been all cleaned in the lab and everything like that. I mean, I'm doing kind of, you know, backwoods bootleg biology here. I'm sanitary and stuff like that, and I have the laboratory or the good manufacturing processes from my time at biotech, but I don't have nearly the labs that they have up there. So just kind of taking it to the next level. Once we knew we had something that was good and made a good beer, we wanted to make it even better.
This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio, and you're listening to Playing with Food on Issues and Ideas. I'm Father Ian, and I'm with Chip Nasser of Night Lizard Brewing Company, making beer with wild yeast. When it was time to make the beer, I headed back to Santa Barbara.
Today we're going to taste a little bit of the beer that's been fermented out from the wild yeast we captured out in Mission Creek from the poison oak bush. It's going to be a pretty bland beer. It doesn't have really any hops or any strong malt character, and that's done deliberately so we get the flavor of the yeast really forward. The first example of what a beer could taste like from our wild yeast.
It is bland, but it's still got flavor.
Yeah, I get like a fruity raisin note to it. It
tastes like raisin.
Yeah, like a dates and raisin type. It's definitely more Belgian character.
It tastes like if you poured yourself a glass of beer and then woke up in the morning and needed to go to work, came home and cleaned up 48 hours later from watching football or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'm going to taste this.
Taste this beer that's sitting there. Yeah.
Like, well, completely flat.
It's just been right out of the Erlenmeyer flask with the yeast and then right into our mouths. Just from the flavor of the liquid itself, it does have a lot of like fruitiness, Belgian character to me, like just a little bit of funkiness. And I think that's just because of the wild character of the yeast.
That was your test beer. You're going to show me how to make beer with wild yeast?
Yeah.
The wild yeast that we caught?
Yep.
Okay. Yep, where do we start?
Right now, we're going to start with milling the grain. Up some water to put that grain into, and we'll start our sugar extraction process in there, start mashing. Yeah, so it'll be about 3 hours from right now, so we'll do the hour rest that Clay was mentioning right there. We'll run off all of that liquid, taking all of the sugary liquid out, and then we'll boil it for 90 minutes.
Always a nice smell too, if you want to get up there and get a little good whiff of it. It'll smell more malty now, and then in an hour it'll actually be more sweet. So.
At all like the kitchen last night?
Smells like the kitchen last night, yeah.
So now we're gonna let this sit for an hour, let all the enzymes get cranking in there. So right now we're running off the sugary wort. At the same time, I'm heating up this kettle to start boiling. That's where we'll boil for the next step, the 90 minute boil. And then after that is when we'll pitch our yeast.
Okay.
We're on our way to beer.
So this is our yeast that we found on poison oak.
Poison oak inside of Mission Creek.
How many weeks ago?
6 weeks now.
It's been 6 weeks, and it's finally fulfilling its destiny.
As beer, yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
It's still not 100%, right?
Yeah, yeah, we got a 10-day window before we know for sure, but it's looking good.
Okay.
It's looking good.
Have you ever put the yeast in the wort and waited 10 days for it to ferment and nothing happened?
Yeah, definitely we have. I wouldn't say it's a regular occurrence by any means. Beer that's not attenuated, that hasn't made its alcohol, is kind of the bane of brewer's existence. It's the worst thing that you can have happen.
The beer was successful. It was time to taste.
So what are you going to call it?
Right now we have a 2X Native Wild Ale. It's probably going to change. That's currently, and the reason it's 2X is because of the booze. It's a boozier version of it. So it's probably going to be something like a Santa Barbara Wild Wheat Ale.
I really think you should name it Poison Oak something.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, Poison Oak Ale. I'm worried about people, I'm extremely allergic to Poison Oak. Is there, any Poison Oak that made it? It's weird how just one word can really make people not want to drink something.
Poison is probably not good in a title, right.
Poison in a beer.
Even though they say name your poison.
That's true.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, pick your poison.
Cheers. Poison,
I've never tried it before.
So you haven't tried this? No. Are you sure you haven't tried it?
Haven't tried it.
What if it's horrible?
Could be horrible.
How do you know whether it's bad or not?
The smell usually can tell me that there's no contamination or anything like that, so we're at least safe to drink it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Down
cheers.
The hatch.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah, very Belgian-y in flavor, and that's all the yeast. It's a very basic grain recipe. Not too many hops in there. Can't really taste the alcohol either. It's got about 8%.
It's tasty. It's very creamy.
It is, yeah.
What do you think makes it creamy?
We did just carbonate it yesterday, so it could be that it's just a little bit whipped up from that whole process.
Okay.
It does have that velvety mouthfeel. That could also be the amount of wheat that we used. I don't know if you remember, we used a lot of wheat in there, and that tends to give you that velvety smoothness to it. Also, it's why it's hazy. I think it's going to approach a big group, or I hope it is, that it's a native Santa Barbara yeast, that it's right in their backyard, and nobody else has this yeast in the world. We got it out of a poison oak bush. Nobody else has got this. I think anybody that likes Belgian beers all the way to somebody that wants to try something new from their backyard would be interested in it.
How much does the yeast contribute to the flavor?
So yeast is the number one, in my opinion, impact on both the hop flavor and the malt flavor. The yeast is doing all kinds of crazy chemical reactions inside its body while it's converting the sugar into alcohol. Additionally, that's unique about our brewery, that we use a different yeast strain for every single beer that we make in here. All 16 beers have different yeasts, which is unique. A lot of breweries will do one yeast for every single beer they make. I've never tasted a yeast quite like this. It's got like a little bit of a sweetness. On the back end, most Belgian strains are a lot more dry finishing. For being 8% alcohol, I'm surprised that it still has that a little bit of sweet finish to it. That might just be the yeast that did that.
Based on what you've tasted now, would you use this yeast again?
Yeah. Yeah, we're planning on it. Hopefully this guy's going to grow up. This is the last that we have in-house of the poison oak. We did send a little bit up north too to just see if we got another unique strain.
Chip gave me a crowler of the poison oak beer with an ABV of 10%. Having hung onto it well into the shelter at home period, I knew that I couldn't drink that much at that ABV by myself. So I drank some while I made beer battered fish and chips, beer battered fried chicken, and a couple of other things. The highly flavored beer was excellent in the glass and on the plate. This was a very unique journey with great results. Using wild yeast from a poison oak bush to make beer is something that never ever popped into my mind before meeting Chip. He does an amazing job at playing with food, and he's quite good at it.
About a 10% chance to get a viable yeast strain, and we've done it twice now getting viable strains, so we have good luck.
And the second time was the poison oak.
Poison oak, yeah, second time.
So I was there.
You were there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. You were there. You were there for it, for sure, yeah.
Catching yeast is one thing, but having a yeast that actually produces the flavors that you would like to have in a beer, that's a whole nother animal right there. So we were super lucky that the yeast strains that we've had do produce those fruity esters that are true to Belgian style.
And like with the first yeast strain, he's sent it off to be tested, cleaned, and ready for commercial use, but...
I kept some of the original yeast culture that we have. I have it banked in our fridge, so I could prop that back up and get exactly the same, get it going. That's the way I'd prefer to go, just because the couple of pitches that we've got back from them are so good because they've cleaned them up and there's not any weirdness in there anymore. It almost
tastes too clean. It tastes like a commercial strain again. And that, the unique flavors you get for it is that character, that Santa Barbara yeast character that nobody else has, because nobody else has harvested yeast from Poison Oak Bush in the Tunnel Trail of Santa Barbara. So yeah, it's definitely something that's unique to the Central Coast, that's for sure.
We went on a hunt for wild yeast to make beer and to make bread, and that is how we did it. This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.